cross. And what I want to do today, altogether, is think about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay, the wrong place and the wrong time. There's a dude up there who you may recognise, even though I'm not wearing that jumper or those shorts. But have you ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time? Now, younger ones, I'm sure you have, when maybe you got caught doing something. But do you know what? It's not just the younger ones. I'm pretty sure the older ones have been caught sometime in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah? Anyway, we might think lots of things about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Here's a few ideas about what that might look like. Okay, see if you agree with these. What do you reckon? Yeah? In front of an avalanche? Probably don't want to be in front of an avalanche. It's a big one. Okay? So, wrong place, wrong time. What about this one? Yeah, well, you're laughing. I was there. Yeah, you don't really want to be there. That's not going to end well, is it? Lots of people go to see that, but they don't stand there for their photo. Okay, what about this one? If you can make that out, that's like a Navy ship firing a dirty great missile. Wrong place, wrong time. It's not going to end well. Here's another one. Wrong place. Wrong time. That's a massive great wave. It's not like what you get around here. It's like a huge wave. That's it, look. That's me. And there's a lighthouse behind me, a big lighthouse. Look at the wave. Ooh. Wrong place at the wrong time, Gus. All right, you got that? If you see your dad, he says, I'm going surfing, and it's like that, tell him, no. Right, Sam? No. Okay. So, wrong place, wrong time. If we ever think about this idea of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, it's usually because there's something bad that might happen in these examples, or in the past, something bad has happened to us. We got found out, or we got caught, or something like that. Now, today, we're going to meet a man, or we're going to think about a man anyway, who it looks very much like he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And as we think about him, I want you to think about what he saw and experienced, looking through his eyes as he was right there when Jesus was about to be killed and when he died on the cross. He was called Simon. Simon of Cyrene. And here's what it said in the Bible about him. We don't know much, but most of it comes from this verse. Okay? Mark 15:21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. So let's try and think how this day went for Simon. Simon was visiting the great city of Jerusalem. It's what many people did at this time of year. The Passover feast was happening. We've heard about the Passover in recent weeks. A big feast. And Jews, God's people, Israel, from all over the place, came in traveling from the country, from other countries, from all over the place, so that they could celebrate this great feast of the Passover. So he was visiting at this time. So it seems he himself was a Jew. And he'd come on a long journey. Now, Cyrene isn't just down the road, it's in North Africa. Okay? About 1,200 kilometres at least from Jerusalem. So he'd come on a massive long journey to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, it seems. And what does he see as he approaches the city? He sees a procession of people coming out of the city. And in that procession are three criminals. And they're criminals who are just about to die. So that's what he sees as he walks in. These three criminals were going to be put up on crosses, probably a bit like that one. That's what was going to happen to them. And they were having these three criminals to carry on their backs at least some of what that cross is. Probably this bit, but it would have been a lot bigger. Had to carry that on their backs. What an awful thing. Come for a big celebration and party sort of thing at the Passover, and you're met with that coming out. What a sight. Simon's walking in, and he stops to look at this. Imagine his surprise then, as he stops to look, that this doesn't just pass by him. The Roman centurion who's in charge, looking around for someone, his eyes fall on Simon, and they widen, and they go, right, get him. He can do it. Do what? What? I'm just looking. And he ends up carrying the cross for one of these criminals. Forced to do it. They seized him and they forced him to do it. Imagine the horror as he carries this piece of wood. He knows what's going to happen. This guy maybe even thinks it's going to happen to him. This guy at least is going to be nailed to this piece of wood and he's going to die. And I'm carrying this piece of wood on which it's going to happen. That's horrific. It's disturbing. It'd be like carrying the beheading axe that's going to chop someone else's head off in the medieval times. It'd be like tying the hangman's noose and walking out with a person who's going to be hanged. Knowing that this is going to be how that person dies. What an awful thing. And so there's a strong argument that Simon was in the wrong place at the wrong time. What do you reckon? He'd just come into the city, he ends up carrying a cross. Awful thing to happen. What do you reckon? Wrong place, wrong time? That would be something that you wouldn't forget very quickly. Well, wrong place, wrong time. The day hadn't started looking like that. He was full of joy. He was excited to get to Jerusalem. Now he's forced to carry a criminal's cross. Well, at least at first glance, it looks like the wrong place and the wrong time. But actually, I changed my mind when I was thinking about this. And I want to share with you why I changed my mind. That actually, it wasn't the wrong place at the wrong time. But I reckon there's a strong argument that Simon was actually in the right place at the right time. So how does that happen? Well, I've got some reasons that I'm going to take you through. And while he may not have agreed with me, Simon that is, at the moment that they were shoving this cross on his back, I reckon later on he changed his mind. And reason number one for that is this. As you read the Bible, and this is Mark 15:21, there's Bibles around if you want to have a look at that. As you read the Bible, there's no wasted words in the Bible. And so it's interesting what we see. The detail here is important. And the details that we have in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, suggest that Mark, who wrote this book, knew Simon and his family. His children, Alexander and Rufus, are mentioned. So it's interesting. It seems that Mark knows this person. It's not just some random dude who was forced. They forced some bloke, some poor chap, to carry the cross, and that's the end of it. Mark seems to know Simon. Simon is at least well known. Secondly, to be well known to Mark when he was writing this book that we have in the Bible, 30 years later, would mean that Simon and his family were part of the church. It's at least very, very possible. And that early church, the church which began after Jesus' death and then he rose again and then continued onwards and has been going ever since, and here we are, part of that church. But it seems that Simon didn't remain a Jew, but he became a follower of Jesus. He became a Christian. Seems he and his family were part of the church. Reason number three why I think that's the case. And by the way, I wouldn't go to the stake on all of this. But reason number three, I would go to the stake on this one, is that that's what the cross is all about. The cross of Jesus Christ. Here's our three reasons. Yeah, well known to Mark. Seems like he became a Christian. Why would that be in there? Why would Mark record these details? Because that's what the cross is for. That's why he was writing about the cross. What he saw there, what Simon saw there, wasn't merely a criminal, but a man who claimed to be God's king, who was innocent of any crime, who, if anyone was in the wrong place at the wrong time, you'd actually say it was Jesus, never mind Simon. Because Jesus was innocent. Simon was actually more deserving of carrying the cross than Jesus ever was. And yet, just like one of the criminals who died alongside Jesus, Simon would have seen the way Jesus died. And what was the way that Jesus died? Well, Jesus gave off this sense that he knew he was in not the wrong place at the wrong time. He was like a what? Don't know what that is. We can have a chat about that later, Gus. But Jesus knew he was in the right place at the right time. That's how, when you read what Mark writes, you can see that happening. He's in control. He knows what's going to happen, and he doesn't run away from it. So he would have seen something of that. He would have seen Jesus doing something rather than having something done to him. Was he just being killed? No, he was dying to save others. And he was doing it so that you and I and Simon don't find ourselves in the worst place at the worst time. You see, Jesus died on the cross, and as he died on the cross, he took the worst place, hell, in our place. He was cut off from God. He screamed out, "Why have you forsaken me?" The relationship seemed to be broken. The Father turned his face away from the Son. He was cut off and in the darkness. And he did that so that we wouldn't have to. Wouldn't have to be cut off in the same way. He died on the cross that Simon more deservedly was forced to carry to save Simon and anyone else who will receive that gift. And the worst place is hell at the end of your life. Doesn't get any worse than that. That's the worst place at the worst time. Hell for eternity. Jesus says that loud and clear. But you know what? The one who talks more about it did everything so that we don't have to face it. And because of the cross, then, God offers us the best place for the best times. God's new creation forever. And you know, we don't actually even have to wait until the end of our lives for that. It starts now as he takes people like us, sinners who deserve his judgment, who should have been on the cross instead of him, and he makes us into new creations. He gives us hope. He gives us hope with which we can face all of life. He gives us hope with which we can face the end of our lives. Because that will not diminish what he's given to us. It'll only get better after that time. And I can just say that as words, and you can just hear that as words. But as we come to some other things in our service, we're going to be praying for our brother Garth Walcott. He's not so old, but he's facing, in the next short time, really, the end of his life. And he's got this hope. He's got this confidence because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. And boy, it makes all the difference. It's a stunning thing to see. And we're going to be praying for him later on. But for him and Ali, this is what's keeping them going. Because if this life is all there is, well, it's not too much to say about it, really. But if what Simon saw and what we're seeing is true, and what would then happen that we'll be celebrating next week, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from death never to die again, then wow, we've got something to shout about, something to hold on to, something to grow in, something to share, something to live out. So let's ask God to help us to do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's very easy for us to think about being in wrong places at wrong times. But Father, we thank you for your plan in Jesus, that you sent him into this world to save sinners. Even the worst can be saved because of Jesus' death on the cross. And Lord, all of us deserve your punishment, your judgment. And yet the Lord Jesus took it in our place. Took it so that we wouldn't have to take it. Took it so that we could be your children, not your enemies. We could be part of your family for the whole of eternity, rather than cut off from you. And Father, as we think about that, we pray that these things will just land on us as heavily as that piece of cross did on Simon. Just come to watch, but drawn in. He's involved in it, and we're involved in what Jesus did. And Father, thank you that it seems that through what he saw and experienced there, it seems that he became part of the church and was saved along with his family. And Lord, I pray that that will be true of each and every one of us. And more than that, that our vision that we have here in Margate, that everyone in Margate and the channel and beyond will get to know the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, that will become increasingly true. But we don't want anyone really to be in the worst place at the worst time. Rather, that they would find their way to a place that you bring them to, where they hear about Jesus and can accept him through faith and be saved. We pray that for your great glory. Amen.